It's game day. And this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard for the penultimate set of pre-split fixtures. If the title race did end last weekend, Michael Beale needs to keep up Rangers' end of the bargain as long as possible at home to St Mirren today. There's an Edinburgh derby underway which could have huge knock-on effects for both. Livy St Johnston and Dundee United Motherwell make up your Saturday offering. It started last night, it continues tomorrow. Big games up and down the country. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me in the studio is Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
I love a day that starts with a game on a knife edge. Kevin Nisbet scores for Hibs, put them one up against Hearts. Ross County lost to Aberdeen last night, Aberdeen's sixth win on the bounce. Could today in Edinburgh be Hearts' sixth defeat on the bounce? That would be a disaster for them at Ibrox. There's a disjointed look about Rangers because of injuries, and they need to be careful against St Mirren. Any drop points today and at Petardie next weekend, Celtic could be champions before the split. Dundee United also need something at Motherwell. I don't fancy their chances much, I have to say, but the bottom three separated by 3 points. What a weekend, what a day in prospect.
Yeah, it certainly is. The weather is smashing as well. Never a better time to play your football than April when the sun is shining. But there is still some pressure on the teams playing today. Dundee United fighting for their lives away to your lot, Motherwell, who still have their sights set and finishing best of the rest of the bottom six. And of course, Rangers at home to St Mirren. They will be looking to bounce back, and we're enjoying an Edinburgh derby that's going Hibs' way.
Absolutely. In the meantime, there's not been a great deal in it, Gordon DL, but Hibs do lead by that Kevin Nisbet goal to nil. Whatever happens there, it's a huge afternoon. And everywhere you look, Hugh declared the business end of the season open last weekend, so we're well underway.
Yeah, and as it stands, it's a massive game for, obviously, Hibs. That could cement that top six place. You know, Livingston sitting there, they've got to play this afternoon, but it'd be a big ask. Got to win their two games, but I look at the bottom of the league as well. Dundee United, is this an opportunity today against an informed Motherwell to leapfrog Ross County, who lost to an informed Aberdeen? A lot of football ahead.
Absolutely, sit back and enjoy. So much to get through this Saturday afternoon. We'll keep you up to speed on the Edinburgh derby. Andy Halliday comes off just as Super Scoreboard starts. He's obviously got his priorities. He'll be going straight to find his Clyde One app.
He nearly scored as well with a header in the first half.
He did indeed.
We'll keep an eye. 64.
We'll keep an eye on the remainder of that one. Let's go to Ibrox though. Rangers against St Mirren. Roger Hanna's there.
Yeah, and that 3-2 defeat for Rangers at Celtic Park last Saturday, Gordon, it was the first league loss of the Michael Beale era, but it left Rangers 12 points adrift of Celtic at the top of the Premiership. That said, there's still plenty to play for. Just a fortnight to that Scottish Cup semi-final at Hampden against Celtic, and all of this against a sort of backdrop of off-field turmoil. Ross Wilson departing for Nottingham Forest this week, Douglas Park standing down the previous week, and you have to remember the last time they played St Mirren in Paisley was the last game of the Giovanni van Bronckhorst era, that 1-1 draw, a late James Tavernier penalty rescuing a point. So three of the key positions at Ibrox have all changed in the past 4 months. Michael Beale's come in, John Bennett's a new chairman. We await a replacement for the departed sporting director. As for changes on the pitch, well, Beale has no fewer than 10 first team players missing today. No Goldson, Kent, Jack, Kolak, Yilmaz, Wright, Roof, Stephen Davis, Lawrence or Hillander. But that still means there's only two changes from the side that lost at Celtic Park a week ago. Out go Jack and Ken, in come John Lundstrom and Fashion Sakala. So Rangers will be Alan McGregor in goal. It's a back four. James Tavernier, the captain, who scored his 100th goal for the club at Celtic Park last week. John Suter, Ben Davis and Borna Barisic all keep their places. Lundstrom comes in with Nico Raskin in midfield. Then it's Todd Cantwell, Malik Tillman and Fashion Sakala behind Alfredo Morelos on the bench. McLaughlin, Hadji, Matondo, Kamara, Arfield, King, 19-year-old Ross McCausland and 19-year-old Aaron Lyle, both of whom could make Rangers' debuts today, and 16-year-old Bailey Rice, who did make his debut as a substitute in the win at Livingston earlier in the year. As for St Mirren, well, they've not finished in the top six since 1984-85, but terrific wins in the last 2 weekends against Livingston and Hearts have created that opportunity for Stephen Robinson. If they don't do it this week, they can do it next week, and the omen's not great for them coming to Ibrox. They've not won here since November 1991 when Kevin McGowan scored the only goal. They've not even taken a point here since a last minute equaliser by former Rangers striker Stephen Thompson 12 years ago. Two changes for Stephen Robinson. There's no Keanu Backus, the Australian World Cup star, not in the squad at all, and Thierry Small drops to the bench. He took a knock at Tynecastle last week. In come Greg Kilty and Scott Tanzer. So it's Trevor Carson in goal, back three Marcus Fraser, Joe Shaughnessy the skipper, and Charles Dunn. Midfield Ryan Strain, Greg Kilty, Alec Gogic, Mark O'Hara and Scott Tanzer, and up top Tony Watt with the ever dangerous Curtis Mayne. On the bench, Urminski, Taylor, Gallagher, Small, Flynn, Boyd Munce, Offord, Jameson and Grieve. The referee, Stephen McLean. The VAR is Andrew Dallas.
Well, Roger's stats proved the disparity within Scottish football. Yeah. 32 years since St Mirren won at Ibrox. 12 years since they scored a goal at Ibrox. But I think with Rangers today, there are many players out because of injury. Is there a residual effect of losing to Celtic last week as well? Are the crowd going to be as up for it as they normally are in the sunshine, but the league's gone? So I think that there exists a chance of St Mirren getting a draw, which would be a major step forward.
I don't think St Mirren would be high in confidence after last week. Rangers, you know, trying to get back in the right track. Must say, when I heard the injury list, I was expecting a much different Rangers side, but it's much the same with just those two changes coming in. So no different in terms of style of play or anything like that. I think the fans, there's not really anybody in that team that the fans will go along and say, oh, we're going to see something new or something different. Sakala, Lundstrom, they know what they can do. So no real excuses today,
yeah,
for them.
I think it's still a big ask. I know what Hugh's saying, but you'll go 32 year, 12 year without a goal, and all of a sudden you're thinking, well, Rangers got a few injuries, they could get something. You look at a Rangers side, it's still a very strong side, very talented side, and also there's players in there with an opportunity of playing in probably the biggest game of the season.
Not that many though, Roger Hannah. Is there a conclusion to be drawn there about the way Michael Beale feels about certain players, maybe the way he feels about this end to the season? Because I don't think anyone expected him to completely rip up the league, you know, say it's all over and just start playing everyone and experiment all over the place. But it wouldn't have been wild to suggest Matondo could have started today. Could Giannis Hadji have forced his way in light of the injuries? But there's a clear determination there to keep this as close as possible to the group that he's used so far in his time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can throw in the names of Glenn Kamara or Scott Arfield as well. Gordon, I thought they might have had a sniff at a start today. I wonder if he would maybe rest a couple of players either today against St Mirren or next Sunday against Aberdeen up at Pittodrie ahead of the semi-final. But it looks as if he's going the other way. It looks as if he's going to keep this small core of players together. It's still not sure Conor Goldson will be ready for the semi-final, so he'll want to see Souter and Davis together. I think his first choice midfield pairing is Raskin and Jack. So without Jack, Lundstrom's just the next cab off the rank. He comes into the team and it's Sakala instead of Ryan Kent when he's got this little knee problem that he's dealing with in a minute. So there are no more changes to be had. It'll be interesting to see what he does off the bench, whether, you know, there is extended time for a Hadji or an Arfield or a Kamara or even some of the youngsters on the bench. You know, I saw Bailey Rice coming on for his Rangers debut at 16 at Livingston, didn't look out of place in the few moments that he got. So I think the Rangers fans here, they wouldn't be averse to seeing a Rice or an Aaron Lyle or a Ross McCausland just to give them a glimpse of what the future might have coming out of Auchinhowie.
Is that Glasgow in a nutshell, Roger Hanna, where everybody can call this show all week long and say the league's over, it's over, it's done, it might have been done before but it's certainly done now, but at the same time it doesn't alleviate any of the pressure really on Michael Beale, because if that 12 point gap ends up 18 or 15 or whatever by the end of the season, then things will feel a bit different for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And he has had good runs. You know, I said at the top of the show, that defeat at Celtic Park, very narrow, 3-2, could have gone another direction. That's his first league defeat since coming in before Christmas, so he has done a lot of good work here. But, as you say, if this 12-point gap were to become 15 or even worse before the end of the season, and if he was to lose that semi-final at Hampden 2 weeks tomorrow, then the honeymoon period would most definitely be over for Michael Beale, and the next season wouldn't maybe look as good as he would like it to look.
Such is the unequal nature of our footballing landscape, Roger. You always find yourself trying to make the case for the underdog. You know, you look at reasons that they might be able to do something. But I wonder if St Mirren are have as good a chance, maybe even a better chance than any of the others right now of going somewhere like Ibrox and frustrating Rangers.
Well, I'll make the case for them right now because I saw them for Super Scoreboard 7 days ago at Tynecastle. They were terrific. They won the game 2-0. They could have won the game by more. Curtis Mayne is reborn. This is a season of strikers in the Scottish Premiership, Gordon. Kyogo Furuhashi, 28 goals. But look around. Look what Kevin Van Veen's done for your team, Motherwell. Look what Duke and Bojan Majovski, 35 goals between them for Aberdeen. Look at the influence of Stephen Fletcher for Dundee United last week. And at St Mirren, the man in red-hot form is Curtis Mayne. He terrorised Kai Rowles at Tynecastle last week. And he will fancy getting in among John Souter and Ben Davis, who, well, though they did at times at Celtic Park, were both culpable for costly mistakes 7 days ago. So with Tony Watt at his side, I think Curtis Mayne will be a handful for Rangers today. One thing I would say, though, I think St Mirren will miss Keanu Backus. I can only assume it's an injury or an illness. There was no suggestion yesterday that he was going to miss the game, but he is absent from the squad altogether, and his energy in that midfield along with O'Hara and Gogic has been crucial for St Mirren.
Yeah, Kai Rowles is not having a particularly comfortable afternoon today either, but we'll maybe get to that a bit later on. And Roger, are we still at the stage where everything is coming into the minds of the Rangers fans? You know, the wider picture. I'm not saying they're coming up to the ground today and thinking about Ross Wilson, but it is that sort of transitional period. You wonder what happens next in that department. Do the Rangers replace it like for like? Do they go without a sporting director? I guess if one of the signings that hasn't worked under Ross Wilson has a bad game, Rangers fans will, you know, mention the recruitment, that sort of thing. So it does feel like there's a lot going on there between fans and board.
I would agree with that, but I would say that the trading model that Rangers are trying to promote here, I think that demands a sporting director. Michael Beale was speaking at the end of the week there, saying he's happy to fill the void just now. There's not too long to go to the end of the season, and he was quite bullish that a lot of the summer plans are already in place and are just waiting to be executed, so he feels he can do the job in the short term. But I think, you know, nowadays, Gordon, I think clubs the size of Rangers probably need someone in that buffer role between manager and board, whether you call them director of football, whether you call them sporting director, whatever you want to title them. I think nowadays a club the size of Rangers needs someone in that role just to pull everything together, the incoming players, just as importantly the outgoing players as well. And I think Rangers will look in the summer to find a permanent replacement for Ross Wilson.
Let's hear from Michael Beale and Stephen Robinson.
Stephen's done a very, very good job. It's interesting. We've played 21 domestic games and I haven't played against St Mirren yet, which is obviously something with the schedule. It was obviously the last game before the World Cup break before I came in. I think they're 3 points off of third place and the European money there. There's a fantastic battle in the division at the moment. We're entering into the last 7 league games where, obviously, naturally with a split, but I'm assuming Aberdeen and St Mirren will make the top 6 as well. We've got 7 games against teams around us, and I think there's everything to play for some of those clubs for that European place. We can see what it did for Hearts financially this year, and the other clubs will be very aware of that. So Stephen's done a good job. I think he'll make things really difficult for us.
Yeah, I think we got punished by very good players, you know, and both times we've gone to face Celtic or Rangers. We've done well in large, large parts of the game. We've competed in large parts of the game, which is a testament to the players. And as I say, we've got punished by quality finishing. You know, we must limit them chances. And every time we go, we have been. We've been very brave on the ball, been very disciplined and aggressive with our defensive setup. And we have to go and do the same again. And, you know, we've gone to Hearts. We've beat them. We've beat Celtic. We've beat Hibs. We've beat everybody in and around the top 6. So there's no reason why we can't go and get a result at Ibrox.
Looking forward to that one. There can't be many places you'd rather be on a Saturday afternoon in the sun than Fir Park. David Friel's looking forward to Motherwell Dundee United.
Yeah, Gordon, it's a pleasure to be here in this weather, Lanarkshire Riviera, and I need to give a special mention to the Motherwell groundsman. You know, he does get a lot of plaudits, but this pitch is looking absolutely immaculate. If you can't play football in this, you'd be as well retiring. It is pristine. It was always going to be a big game, this one, especially for Dundee United, but I think it's fair to say Aberdeen's win over Ross County last night has cranked it up a notch again. Jim Goodwin's side obviously start the day bottom, but they now have the chance to go above County, who are on 27 points, so they'd go a point above them, and they would actually join Kilmarnock on 28 points if they can win here. They'd actually go 10th with a win due to their superior goal difference, although that's currently minus 25, so I'm not sure superior is the right word there. United really win away, and getting one at Fir Park's obviously going to be easier said than done. The top six looks to be out of Motherwell's reach right now, I think it is, but they're still on an incredible run. They've got 5 wins in a draw the last 7 games. Only Rangers have beaten them under new boss Stuart Kettlewell, so they're going really, really well. And you can bet every Motherwell fan and also myself will be coming here today expecting to see the latest episode of the Kevin Van Deen Show. Dutch striker, the form of his life, 7 goals in his last 4 games. He's now got 22 for the season. I saw James McFadden, the Motherwell legend, this week tipping him to hit 34 this season, and he's obviously going to be the main man again today. As I said, Stuart Kettlewell going great guns. Sticking with the same team, sorry, for the third successive game. Callum Butcher come off injured last week, but is going to be okay. So it's a 3-4-1-2 formation. Liam Kelly in goals, Paul McGinn, Callum Butcher and Dan Casey at the back. Max Johnson, Sean Goss, Dean Cornelius and James Furlong across the middle, with Blair Spittle in behind Mikael Mandron and Kevin Van Veen. Subs for Motherwell are Oxburgh, O'Donnell, Lamy, McGabby, Slattery, Aitchison, McKinstry, Blaney and Payton. As for United, they had gone 11 games without a win, but they finally broke that last week when they beat Hibs 2-1, Jamie McGrath's last minute penalty. That obviously ended that horrible record. Jim Goodwin's vowed to attack, you know his draws aren't any good, but with just one win from 15 on the road all season, they really need to up their game on their travels. Jim has just made one change from the Hibs win. Ilmari Niskanen comes in for Kai Fotheringham. So it looks like a 3-4-3 formation for United. Mark Birigiti in goals, Loic Ayina, Charlie McGroom, Scott McMahon at the back. Middle four of Kieran Freeman, Craig Sibbald, Ian Hartson, Aziz Behic, with Ilmari Niskanen and Jamie McGrath either side of captain Stephen Fletcher. Subs for United are Newman, Sadat, Graham, Fotheringham, June, Cujo, Edwards, Thompson and McLeod. The referee is Nick Walsh and the EAR at Fir Park is Colin Stephen.
Yes, looking forward to that one. Let's get the thoughts of the guys in the studio.
Well, Dundee United, as David has pointed out, have a great chance. But at the moment, you're talking about a Motherwell team because of Van Veen and also because of the manager, who are in the ascendancy. When Stuart Kettlewell took over at Motherwell on an interim basis, Dundee United and Motherwell were separated only by goal difference in Motherwell's favour. Now there are 11 points between them, and that's down to Van Veen's goals and the astute management of Stuart Kettlewell. I just feel that the process will continue today and that Stuart Kettlewell will get the 3 points. Put it this way, if I was thinking about meeting Jim Goodwin for a drink later on tonight, I'm not sure he would turn up if he lost.
Well, yeah, I think Dundee United are improved under Jim. Not improved as much as Motherwell have under Stuart Kettlewell, like you rightly points out, but Jim came in, steadied the ship, couple of draws early on, and then that win last week was crucial, because Ross County won away at St Johnstone last week, put a little gap there, so huge pressure on those players get into the Hibs game, and they got a result. I just wonder what that will do confidence wise I don't know, I've got a sneaky feeling that United might get something today at Fir Park.
I think United are a dangerous animal today. I sort of agree with what Mark's saying, but I think you can only say they've improved under Jim Goodwin if they can go off the bottom of the league. Now, this is a great opportunity this afternoon, but Hugh makes a great case for Motherwell. They're in great form. Van Veen's hitting the back of it for fun. They're playing with good confidence. They're at home. Be a big crowd there today. I think that'll be a cracker.
What type of animal would you say Dundee United are, specifically?
Fozzie Bear.
I think a lion today.
Silver fox in charge, certainly.
Yeah. Silver fox with the line.
Line's on the badge, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it? I'm over a moon with that.
Just checking. Anyway, on that note, let's go to the Tony Macaroni. Fraser Wishart's going to watch Livy St Johnston.
I am, Gordon, and both teams got a lot to play for here still at this stage of the season. Livy's still in the hunt for a top six place. St Johnston still need a couple of results to put any chance of relegation or even for the second year running a playoff to bed. Livy's form has dipped at a critical time in the season. 5 defeats in the last 7. A couple of weeks ago they won the top 6, but in the last 2 games they've been 3 down before half time in Paisley and at Motherwell, and that gives you absolutely no chance of getting anything from the game. So I think David Martindale will be much happier they're back home today for what is a must win game. I think they have to win this one and next week at home to Dundee United before the split if they're going to get into the top 6. I think if Hibs do hang on and win, goal difference means that even a draw today is probably not enough for Livingston. They've got a decent home record, 7 wins, 4 draws in 16 games, but they've only scored 17 goals in those games. Anderson and Nubly top scored in 6, and the next 3 are defenders, Kelly, Montana and Devlin with 4 each, so they'll be looking for midfield players to chip in with a couple of goals today if possible. But a few weeks ago St Johnstone looked safe. They'd won at Fir Park, they'd won at Tannadice, but since then 2 points in 5 games means they're still looking over their shoulder as the teams below them have picked up wins. And last week's home defeat, I think in particular, would have annoyed Callum Davison. They lost to Ross County at home, and that was a real chance to put distance between themselves and the bottom. And defeat means they're only 5 points between St Johnstone and Ross County in that playoff place, and it just puts a wee bit of doubt, a wee bit of worry in the minds of the players. Away from home has actually been better for St Johnstone than their home form. Not won at home since November, so perhaps this style of play suits to being hard to beat and using the pace of the likes of May to go on the counter attack. Good omen for Livy. They've won both games against St Johnstone this season. I think this might be a physical one with few goals in the game at all. For Livingston, no surprise, 4 changes after a couple of bad defeats. Guthrie, Omeonga, DeLucas and Penrice drop onto the bench. Boys, Montana, Shinney and Anderson come in for a 4-3-3 formation. Shamal George in goals, Nicky Devlin, Jack Fitzwater, Morgan Boys and Christian Montano at the back. In midfield, Stephen Kelly, Jason Holt and Andrew Shinney, with Stephen Bradley, Bruce Anderson and Joe Nubly up front. Jack Hamilton, Jamie Brandon, Louis DeLucas, Stefan Omeyongo, Sean Kelly, James Penrice, Scott Pittman, Dylan Bahambula and Curtis Guthrie are on the bench. 3 changes for St Johnstone after that poor result against Ross County. Brown, Witherspoon and Rudden dropped to the bench, with McPherson, Murphy and McLennan coming in. And a change of formation for St Johnstone. It looks like a 4-2-3-1 rather than the usual 3-5-2. Remy Matthews in goals, Dre Wright, Ryan McGowan, Liam Gordon and Adam Montgomery at the back. Midfield, Cammy McPherson and Dan Phillips, with Jimmy Murphy, Melker Helberg, Conor McLennan behind Stevie May as the lone striker. Subs for St Johnstone: Ross Sinclair, Alec Mitchell, Jason Brown, Tony Gallagher, David Witherspoon, Teo Bear, John Moreland, Zach Rudden and Graham Carey. And the referee today at the Tony Macaroni is David Munro, and the VAR is Kevin Clancy.
It's all heating up in the Edinburgh Derby, but it's almost finished. We'll give you the full time story next.
Action as it happens, and your reaction from 5 on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Big games to come, but one is already finished in the capital at Easter Road. How did it go, Andrew McLean?
Hibs 1, Hearts 0, the full-time score from Easter Road. And just listen to this around me. The celebrations here from the home fans just show you how huge a 3 points this is for Lee Johnson and his players. It also means it's a defeat for Stephen Naismith in his first game in interim charge of Hearts. It wasn't a game full of quality, really. There was a lot of battling, some big tackles, a good few yellow cards as well. The first real opening of the game came 18 minutes in. Hearts got into the Hibs box. Shankland unable to get a clear shot away. It broke for George Grant. His close-range effort was blocked, though. Then a huge chance for Hibs. 24 minutes in, the ball breaking off George Grant into the path of Ewan. He was at an angle, close range. He fired it across Sander Clark, who managed to get a leg in the way. It was a big save. Ewan probably should have done better, though. Another chance for him 2 minutes later. He sent a shot over the bar from Kevin Nisbet's cutback. 10 minutes before the break, Andy Halliday had a really good headed chance at the back post from Barry Mackay's corner. That was smothered by David Marshall. A third chance for Ewan after the break. A fresh air swipe it was in the Hearts defence. It saw the ball fall to the striker in the box, but it was a tame effort, really, towards Xander Clark. Hibs were creating the better openings, though. Nisbet and Cadden within a few minutes of each other, both cutting in on their left foot, curling a shot wide of the post. They looked the most likely to open the scoring, and it came from a set piece, a corner curled to the back post. There was Paul Hanlon to head it back across the face of goal, and Kevin Nisbet volleyed high into the net for the opener and what proved to be the winner in this game as well. The Hibs players still walking round the Easter Road pitch, taking in the atmosphere, the fans. It's a good few minutes after the full-time whistle. They're all still here. They're singing Sunshine on Leith. They've got their scarves up. It feels like a huge day for Hibs. They're now in a strong position to seal a top six spot. While Hearts, well, they're now 5 points adrift of Aberdeen in third place. The full-time score here at Easter Road is Hibs 1, Hearts 0.
Got to be one of, if not the best anthem in Scottish football. I'm tempted to just sit and listen to that all afternoon, Hugh Evans.
Sunshine on Leith. Hibs proclaim themselves to be the kings of the capital for the day. It shows you the combative nature of derby football in this country. This is Hibs' first win in 5 football matches, and the crowd and the players are celebrating as if they had won the league. But if it's sunshine on Leith, it's grim in Gorgie. because this is six defeats on a row for Hearts, and that is bad news for them. The season has gone pear-shaped. They're 5 points behind Aberdeen. Aberdeen are in pole position to get that third place and the European money that goes with it. No bounce following the interim appointment of Stephen Naismith as the Hearts manager. I thought they went down in a feeble fashion. Hibs deserved to win. They had the bulk of the chances. They squandered many of them. But the goal from Nisbet was a beauty. And to Hibs, the spoils. To Hearts, the worry.
Yeah, I mean, Fraser Wishart, I know you've got Livy St Johnstone on your mind, but this was going to be a huge game, no matter the outcome, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, Hearts have just imploded, you know. And I think the decision to get rid of Robbie Neilson's a very, very strange one. It just shows you that in football, you know, you're a half dozen weeks away from losing your job, no matter what you've done for the club. You know, I thought it was a very, very strange one. As was just appointing Stephen Naismith on a temporary basis. If they want to give him it, give him it. But you need to get somebody in quite quickly. And if it just seems to be drifting. And even for Lee Johnson, as you were saying there, you know, the fans and the players are celebrating as if they won the league. If Lee Johnson had lost this one and say Livy had won, all of a sudden he's under real pressure as well for his job. So those are the fine lines at football clubs. Hibs will enjoy their day in the sun, but for Hearts, goodness me, for such a strong squad and such a good team, the wheels have just come off in the last few weeks, and now they're in real danger of not even finishing in third place, which is what Andrew McKinley said was the absolute minimum.
I mean, it does show you the fine margins in football, Mark and Gordon. I mean, I think Hearts had 67% possession. It was a similar number of shots on goal, a similar number of shots on target. At the same time, I feel Hibs probably deserved it on the second half showing, don't get me wrong. But at this stage in the season, you sometimes need things to go your way, and it's a terrible run continuing for Hearts.
Yeah, I don't know what the lads are thinking. And I heard the lad on the other night, the Hearts supporter, putting a good case out there for why the party company with Rob Neilson. I'm different. I would have, at this stage of the season, where they were, yes, they were in a real bad run, I would have stuck with Robbie Neilson to the end of the season and hoped to see it out. He could have turned the corner. Mm-hmm. In this league, that one win gives you the confidence. You get Ross County next week. It could have been the bounce for him to go and win games. But they decided to gamble. They put in a interim manager who's never been a manager. He's been coach, and obviously he's set up in the Scotland set up as well. I just think it was too big a risk for me. Now it may pay because they've got Ross County next week. You'd expect, expect them to get
not
3 points?
Form.
No, exactly. But I think that was a mistake from Hearts. I really do. I think
I'm with you on this one, because if you're going to get rid of him, you have this game coming up today, a week later. And you've got a manager who seemed to have the number of Hibs, Robbie Neilson, especially this season.
Didn't have a great record at Easter Road, but generally, I take your point.
Yeah, they didn't not win the last game 3-0 at Easter Road.
But I mean, before that, it was a stick that used to...
So why not give them this one chance? If they lose today, then it's an easier decision, but also, they left themselves so open.
Can you imagine, because the hindsight's great, can you imagine Hearts lose that today with Robbie Neilson still in charge?
Of course.
Because the Hearts fans will be, they'll be upset and they'll be frustrated tonight, but they won't be angry in that regard.
I wonder to what extent they're bowed to crowd pressure, because...
But you'd be talking fans outside Tynecastle if they lost that with Robbie Neilson in charge, though, wouldn't you? So is that maybe why it had to happen?
I'm not concerning myself with the offensive message that was daubed on the club's crest outside the ground, but the noise last weekend when St Mirren won 2-0 at Tynecastle, the noise at time up, I said at the time, was venomous. And I think Anne Budge and Andrew McKinley have got together and thought, if we lose under Robbie Neilson to Hibs, this place will explode.
Yeah,
they've basically got and bowed to the supporters, Hugh. They have.
Well, for a start, though, you're a fan-owned club, so it would be nice to take the temperature of those that sort of, you know, fund the place.
Totally, but also,
they had to finish third, and they've looked at that run of form and thought, this, whatever it is, the current setup, we're not finishing third.
Right.
It's just
only
a gamble, isn't it?
Only in my opinion, and I know I can be shot down in flames because of the recent results with Robbie Neilson, I think Hearts have had a better chance of finishing third sticking with the manager. I totally take on board what you're saying about there'd be such an uproar. If that was the case, they could have pulled the trigger today. If he'd have went to Hibs today, an experienced manager, knows this fixture inside out, I'm not having a go at Naismith.
But
after
fair,
five defeats, no,
there's nothing.
Listen,
to,
you can turn corners of five defeats.
Also, it's
one,
so easy.
Especially in a
it's
derby.
So easy after the game now to say, oh, Robbie Nielsen might have done better. Yeah. That. There was nothing but, in that game, really.
Yeah, but I keep going back to,
I mean, that's
it's an opinion.
To do, isn't it?
If you'd asked me, if I was sitting at top at Hearts, I'd have stuck with Robbie Nielsen just now.
I mean,
the worry for Hearts, Gordon, is that the final game before the split, they could be overtaken by Hibs, which would be a disaster, and even St Mirren could overtake them. So the worry for Stephen Naismith, who has a seven-game audition, the first game's been lost. If the second game's lost, he's in bother as well.
I mean, David Friel, I've always started to learn recently, I think, just how important they view the head-to-head record between the sides. It's almost another league within a league, isn't it? You could almost go as far as to say, if you take, you know, this season's different, third place and all the money, if you offered a Hearts fan or a Hibs fan, you would finish one place below the other, but you would win all the derbies. I think they would maybe take that option. So there'll be a huge reaction to this one.
Yeah, they maybe would, Gordon, and maybe that holds the clubs back, where it's always, you know, are you one up on the other club in the city? But to talk about Hearts, I just can't believe the implosion and the level of implosion. I'm actually looking at the league table today. Aberdeen lost 6-0 to Hibs. Aberdeen were 9 points behind Hearts, having played a game more. 10 games later, they're 5 points ahead. I mean, it's incredible. You know, it's the Grand National today. They've done a Devon Lock. They've basically thrown it away, and I think it's just complacency. You can talk about Robbie Nielsen, you can talk about anything, but I think they thought they were home and hose back then. Only Livingston were close to them, and that was 7 points. They've just completely chucked it away, and this is going to be a costly collapse as well. Andrew McKinley said during the week it's £6 million at stake here, and I think Aberdeen are going to walk away with it.
Yeah, I was going to say the other side of it, Roger Hanna, is maybe we should really now celebrate this, or, you know, promote this race for third, because it comes with a £6 million prize. You look at Aberdeen, Hearts, and maybe even some others that are in there as well, given the results today. St Mirren and Hibs might fancy it. It could be quite something, but as David says, it is now a 5-point gap Aberdeen have got.
Yeah, and it'll be quite something if the team that lost to Darvel in the Scottish Cup goes away with £6 million. Wouldn't be surprised if we had Mick Kennedy on the phone asking for some of it, having beaten Aberdeen 1-0 in the Cup. I'm not sure what it says about the teams who are distantly below Celtic and Rangers in the league, but it certainly is exciting, I'll give you that. And Barry Robson has done a terrific job at Aberdeen. I think last night, 6 consecutive wins, the first time they've done it in over 6 years. 5 clean sheets out the 6, I think 7 wins out of 9. They are the form team, and Duke and Mayovsky, they have got strikers who have got 35 goals between them this season, and they deserve to where they are. They deserve to be third. But, you know, if St Mirren were to get something at Ibrox this afternoon, they're very much in the push for Europe as well. And could you rule out Hibernian after the shot in the arm they'll get from that Kevin Nisbet winner in the derby this afternoon?
Yeah, that race for third is going to be quite something. We'll go back around the grounds next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just over 15 minutes away from the 3 o'clock kickoffs. Three big games to look forward to: Rangers, St Mirren, Livy, St Johnston, Motherwell, Dundee United. There was a big win for Aberdeen in Dingwall last night, and Hibs have won the Edinburgh Derby by a goal to nil. That really shakes things up in the battle for third. It's very much advantage Aberdeen, but you look at the race, the top six, maybe not much left in that. It could almost be sewn up pretty soon, but the battle for Europe is going to be sensational. Let's go back around some of the other grounds. Motherwell against Dundee United. David, I'm always fascinated a bit by psychology at this time of the year, because Motherwell have done brilliantly. Recent form would absolutely point to them being favourites. I just wonder if Dundee United's greater need or greater cause today comes into it at all.
I'm not so sure. I do think United will have a go. Gordon, you know, Jim Goodwin, as I said earlier on, he has been pretty direct, and he's saying that draws aren't any good. They will come and have a go. But I think Motherwell, you know, I think under Stuart Kettlewell, they just, you know, to borrow a Gordon DL phrase, will be a different animal. And I don't think the players will want to let that go, and I don't think they'll let their standards drop at all. And I know Stuart, being the type of manager is won't allow that as well. And I just think that when you're in that rhythm of playing well, winning games, scoring goals, you know, I think on a day like today where the pitch is perfect, the weather's perfect, you know, I think that brings out the best in players. So I don't see a drop as well. There's no doubt this game will mean more in terms of the table to Dundee United, but you know, I think Motherwell will go hammer and tongs at it again today as well. As we were saying earlier, with Kevin Van Beek in the form he's in, you know, you wouldn't bet against him winning.
Let's hear from the managers then in that one. Stuart Kettle will certainly.
They've been on a poor run, but I think that that will give them a real lift, and it will give them a major incentive for what comes in the remainder of the season. So we know it's going to be a real difficult game, and we know that we now go up against a team that have got their tails up and probably playing with 20-30% more confidence than what they had previously. So it's going to be a difficult game. It's going to be a tough game. You know, when you play against teams that are at the bottom end of the table and they're fighting for their life, I think it can make it so much more challenging, and that's what I expect, and that's what the players will expect on Saturday.
I mean, it is only one win away from home all season for Dundee United, David, but the incentive is quite obvious. Win today, and they actually get into 10th place, don't they, because they've got a superior goal difference already over Kilmarnock. So not only would Ross County be rooted after that defeat last night, but just psychologically they wouldn't even be in the playoff place if they could go and win at Fir Park.
And that would be that. Jim Goodwin will be desperate for that, Gordon, for the psychological reasons as you're talking about. You know, after everything United have been through in the last few months, and just that horrible, you know, winless run they were on, it's just been really a big step forward. But I think the away thing's a big thing. You know, you can talk all you want about, you know, we're going to survive. But if you're only winning one away game out of 15, it's going to be very, very difficult. I think Kilmarnock are in a similar boat. You know, horrendous away record, and you need to start picking points up on the road. As I said, they'll come here, they'll attack. Jamie McGrath, Stephen Fletcher, they've got players that can go and cause problems. But Motherwell do as well. So I'm expecting an open game. I'm expecting goals up at both ends. But I just still think Motherwell might edge it.
It's a fascinating one, Mark. I feel like the three teams that are down there, they fall into kind of different cliched categories. People say that Killie could stay up because of their home form, and they've got that going for them. I think Ross County feel like they've got an experienced manager and they're very well organised, and actually they perform quite well week to week. So you think that's the feather in their cap. And for Dundee United, it's always been they're the ones with the good players, so to speak. You know, whatever that may mean. But you can kind of get it reputationally or on paper or whatever. It's the thing that's meant to save Dundee United. When's it going to kick in?
Well, obviously Jim will be hoping it's sometime soon. I think we saw a glimpse of it last week against Hibs. You see Stephen Fletcher and how huge he's been to probably keep Dundee United in touch with Ross County and Kilmarnock, and he had a big performance last week. He's going to be crucial, leading the line, being that focal point and being an out-and-out goal scorer for them. But Jamie McGrath, we're mentioning the same two players because they are standouts. He has to perform as well if they're going to get out of this. And of course at the back, well, I read a piece today, Charlie McGrew, saying that he's taking a back step from coaching just to concentrate on the football. So these guys are going to be crucial. Experienced campaigners who know their way about the leagues, but have to perform in these last six games.
I mean, I have to say, Fraser Wishart, the result at Easter Road has not done Livy any favours for their hope to make top six. It's actually looking quite unlikely. I was going to ask, above all, are they the team that really, really could be doing with it? It's constant reminders now from David Martindale about the budget and the financial picture going forward. We all know the cash incentive, you know, extra games against the Old Firm, etc., that comes with finishing top six. So that'll be a real blow to them if they can't manage it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they need to win this game. If they win, they've got a chance, because you know, if someone don't pick up anything at Ibrox, then St Mirren are still in the mix for maybe dropping out as well. So I think a win, a draw's not good enough. But you're absolutely spot on, David Martindale, talking about finances this week. I think the difference in just purely in prize money between 6th and 7th might be 150,000 to 200,000. Maybe not seem a lot in the grand scheme of things, but when they're talking to David Martindale and he's talking about dropping 400,000 out of his budget, that's a lot of money for them. And you're spot on, it's not just the Old Firm. I was looking at their attendances for this season, and they tend to get around about 1,500 to 2,000. You know, when St Johnstone come here, when St Mirren come, Motherwell come, that goes up hugely. And of course, because they're close to Edinburgh, when Hearts and Hibs come, it goes up to about 6 to 7. So if you've got a couple of games against the Old Firm or against Hearts or Hibs as well, it's huge. It brings in huge amounts of money and can be the difference between his budget dropping and not. And of course, the incentive on then maybe getting into Europe for next season. But I just got a feeling it's not going to happen for Livingston. I don't think they'll win today. I think it's going to be a draw, hard fought, not much goal, maybe 1-1. But I just think they're going to fall short again, which is no slur in them, because you know the players have done fantastically well. They do have the small budget, a small crowd. But it'll be a real disappointment, I think, for them, given the fact that a couple of weeks ago they were in the top six and they've just hit the poor form right at the wrong time.
And again, because it's all the if but scenarios. It's the as things stand time of the season. If you are Callum Davidson, who a week ago says, you know, very much in a relegation dogfight, everybody expects Kilmarnock to lose against Celtic tomorrow. So if St Johnstone can win this, are they safe?
Almost. I think a lot depends also on St Johnstone. On Dundee United today. You know, if they win, then all of a sudden everybody's back there. I think if you get to 36, 37 points and St Johnstone at 32, then they're pretty much safe. I was surprised at Callum making those comments. I know he's disappointed after the game and he's lost to Ross County, but that kind of comment gets into the players' minds as well and gets into everybody around the club. And people begin to think, oh, we are in a dogfight here, whereas they're on the fringes of it. And they'll turn another two or three defeats in a row and they are right in it. But I don't think St Johnstone are in great danger of finishing in the bottom two places. And I think they've got a point today. But if Dundee United win, then all of a sudden the gap between bottom and St Johnstone just closes as well. So a couple of results in St Johnstone will be safe. I think they'll be okay over the piece.
Well, sometimes I think you have to draw a diagram for players. You have to point out that you've been sleepwalking towards the position that you're in now, as Stephen Naismith tried to do with Hearts early in the week. When he took over, he said that these guys have been coasting and that things need to change. It did not work for him today. It had better worked for Callum Davidson at Livingston. Otherwise, they will go into the final game before the split against a buoyant Hibs, not having won at McDermott Park, not having won on their own ground for 4.5 months.
I think if St Johnstone win today, I'd safely say that they're okay, and then it'd be a three horse race down at the bottom there. Kilmarnock,
I see what you did, because it's the Grand National today.
I'm just
brilliant.
Promoting everything,
yeah,
today.
Good on you.
But I think it's exciting. I disagree with Fraser. I think Fraser will get an absolute cracker this afternoon. Plenty of goals.
No, you don't.
Sitting in the shade, frozen. But I think the Livingston will win it. I really do. I've got a feeling for Livingston.
Do you think this is Beecher's Brooklyn for St Johnstone?
Tell me you're at least getting a bit of sun, Fraser.
No.
No, not at all. I've got the scarf, the bonnet, and the gloves on that I usually have in the winter time. It might be sunny in Clydebank looking at that windy. But there's a nice wee cool breeze always hits you here at Livy in the press box.
Can't beat it. Anyway, we'll go back to Ibrox for kickoff next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just a few minutes away from kickoff across the country in the 3 o'clock games. Let's go back to Ibrox, get a recap of those teams with Roger Hanna.
Celtic Park seems a long time ago for Rangers. They've had more than a week, Gordon, to stew in the pain of that Old Firm defeat. And they'll be determined to bounce back and make a statement today, with just 2 weeks to go until a rematch with Celtic at Hampden in a Scottish Cup semi-final. Two enforced changes for Michael Beale this afternoon. No Ryan Jack and no Ryan Kent, among 10 first team players missing this afternoon. In come John Lundstrom and Fashion Sakala. Rangers have four teenagers on the bench. They go Alan McGregor in goal. It's James Tavernier, John Souter, Ben Davis and Borna Barisic across the back. John Lundstrom and Nico Raskin in midfield. Then Todd Cantwell, Malik Tillman and Fashion Sakala. Behind Alfredo Morelos. On the bench, McLaughlin, Haji, Matondo, Kamara, Arfield, King, 19-year-old Ross McCausland, 19-year-old Aaron Leyland, 16-year-old Bailey Rice, all hopping for action this afternoon. Never mind those Rangers kids, even James Tavernier was only 3 weeks old when St Mirren last won here at Ibrox back in November 1991. They'll be desperate to change that statistic this afternoon. They too have made two changes as they seek to close an Aberdeen third place in that £6 million European jackpot. Out go Keanu Backus and Thierry Small. In come Greg Kilty and Scott Sandler this afternoon. So it's Trevor Carson in goal, the back three, Marcus Fraser, Joe Shaughnessy and Charles Dunn. Across the middle, Ryan Strain, Greg Kilty, Alec Gogic, Mark O'Hara and Scott Sandler. And up top, Curtis Main and Tony Watt. On the bench, Orminski, Taylor, Gallagher, Small, Flynn, Boyd Munce, Offord, Jameson and Grieve. Our referee is Stephen McLean. The VAR is Andrew Dallas. And we're just waiting in the teams to take to the playing surface, Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, Roger, everyone knows, I think, that the league is pretty much done. But that won't really alter the expectation level from these Rangers fans today, will it?
Absolutely not. And there's a three-pronged ambition for the end of the season. They want to successfully defend the Scottish Cup that they fought so hard to win last season. They want to cut the gap on Celtic to single digits again. And of course, they want to beat Celtic here after the split.
Yeah, and I mean, envisaged today, Roger Hanna, if you like, a chance for some players to come and show what they can do, but I'm not sure that really applies to too many because it's a familiar looking lineup despite the injuries. John Lundstrom, maybe, was he in danger of becoming the forgotten man? He's had a bit of criticism from Rangers fans. And then maybe John Souter in the absence of Conor Goldson.
Yeah, well, it's been a dreadful season for John Souter. It's been well documented. He came back in for only his second start in a Rangers jersey last week, performed well, but still made that error with the back pass that allowed Jota to score for Celtic. A big day for him alongside Ben Davies, because if they are the pairing that's going to face Celtic in the semi-final 2 weeks tomorrow, they will have to get some experience of playing next to each other. Lundstrom, you wonder about Lundstrom. He is no longer the first pick that he was under Steven Gerrard. I think Raskin and Jack together are very much Michael Beale's preferred pairing at the base of the midfield. But he is still ahead of Glenn Kamara. He is still ahead of the likes of Scott Arfield for a jersey in there. So if he wants to regain first choice status, this is exactly the opportunity he needs to grab in the absence of Ryan Jack.
Almost showtime then. How do you see it going?
St Mirren, not a great record. They're playing really well just now. I just think the Rangers will want to make a statement after the disappointment of Celtic Park. I think that'll be narrow, but I may go 2-1 Rangers.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements. Buy now, pay nothing till 2024.
And just like that, we have it. Showtime in the 3 o'clock games already. Hibs 1, Hearts 0 finished in the capital. Already last night, Aberdeen beating Ross County in Dingwall. It is the business end of the season. Every kick of the ball matters. What are you expecting this afternoon, Hugh Evans?
St Mirren will strive with every fibre of their being to get the first win at Ibrox since 1991. And then they'll lose. Motherwell will beat Dundee United. And Libby, St Johnston will draw.
Did you not just go for a draw 5-10 minutes ago?
No. I said that there was potential there.
Oh, right, okay.
But I
agree with my learned friend. He did.
For the life of me, I can't see Rangers losing this one after last week. As well as St Mirren have been doing this season, I think they will win. Rangers at home, I'll go a draw. Dundee United, Motherwell. I think Jim Goodwin's side will get something. And Livy will beat St Johnston to make it an even more difficult time for Callum Davidson.
Surprising. I've went probably the same. Rangers draw at Fir Park. And I fancy Fraser to have game of the day. Livingston to beat St Johnston. I think that'll be a cracker.
Strap yourselves in then. Let's see how we get on in these 3 o'clock games. And then of course it will be over to you on the open line when it's all said and done. I've been meaning to correct you all for about an hour now, but So the damage is probably done because people are in the stadium by now. But I think one of you picked up Roger Hanna wrong, and then you sort of all ran with it. It's 12 years without a point for St Mirren, not a goal. They have scored at Ibrox in that time. It's 12 years without a point.
I kept quiet.
To be fair, Roger didn't make his shell.
No, he did.
Do you think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, a lot of people picked up now. I'm getting a lot of messages on my phone.
And I must say, though, look, it's so much for us to focus on the Premiership, but you look all throughout the country. Hugh, Dunfermline can win the league in League One. The Palmerston Pepper, very own Marvin Bartley, is going to have to try and stop them.
Well, I spoke to a Dunfermline fan that you all know inside this building, and he assures me that if Dunfermline come up, they will be capable of winning the championship in the season that comes thereafter.
He says that every year.
I know, but he's a nice boy, Stephen, so we'll have to forgive him. But no, it's a big day, and I look forward to Dunfermline coming up. It's a great ground, a great club, terrific supporters, and they are a welcome addition to the championship.
Yeah, a matter of time whether Marvin Bartley can make them wait or not. And then you look at that championship, Gordon Dalziel, Dundee in the driving seat at home to Morton. They've not got a great record against Morton recently, but surely at home, at a game you would imagine they'll be heavy favourites. Partick Thistle probably left themselves too much to do, but again, you're fighting for playoff places, and not only that, to try and make sure you finish second to give you the advantage going into the playoffs as well. I mean, down the bottom as well, Cove Rangers are struggling down there. So every single game in the Championship's a big one.
I think there's some good games there. I think Dundee and Morton will be a very good game indeed. You'd imagine, we all fancy, you think, Dundee to go on and clinch the Championship. Queen's Park, good win last night against Hamilton, who really struggling at the bottom. I think it's a big day for Dick Campbell away at Broth. If they can get something in my old stamping ground, I think that will take them just out that worrying situation. Partick Kinnair, I think that'll be a cracker for Hull. Third and fourth, two teams that can score goals, be a cracker.
It looks like one of two will win it, certainly. That's Dundee and Queen's Park, both level on points as things stand. Or am I looking at a table that isn't taken into account now that the games have kicked off? There is every chance. It's always quite confusing at this time.
What about Stirling Albion, Gordon? Can they win the league today, or would they have to wait?
Yeah,
because
they
could have won it the
other
night.
They can officially do it because that game got postponed. So
another step closer, though. Both away from home, are they? Stirling Albion and Dumbarton today. So, yeah.
Dumbarton have tired, didn't they?
Well, tired's one more
time. Yeah, that pre-season game against Aberdeen's just thing is told now.
Anyway, let's get your teaser up and running. We've got our first goal in the Championship, and it's a goal for Raith Rovers. Raith Rovers 1 or both 0. Scott Brown, not that one, has scored after 3 minutes. That tells me that the goals are going in early doors, so we need to get the teaser ready, Hugh.
Okay.
Shall we?
Yep.
The first half teaser with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Since the beginning of season 2022-23 and excluding loan players, five players have played for Scotland and played in both the Scottish Premiership and the Scottish Championship at some point in their career. So, since the beginning of the 22-23 season, and excluding loan players, five players have played for Scotland and played in both the Scottish Premiership and the Scottish Championship at some point in their career. Name them.
Right, I'll get back to that in a second. Penalty Rangers early on. Curtis Main for a trip on Nicholas Raskin. You know the rest. James Tavernier will take, and we'll find out if he can dispatch 100 goals for the club now. It was actually Gogic, sorry, not Curtis Main, who tripped Nicholas Raskin. It is not the start you want to make if you're Stephen Robinson. You want to go and frustrate and be hard to break down. They've given away a penalty inside the first 4 minutes. I'm not entirely sure he can have any complaints. Nicholas Raskin nips in. He's too sharp for him. Gogic is on his heels and trips him. Gogic is kind of hoping that it's outside the box, but I don't think it is. And it's a grim start. Of course, Tavernier still has to score.
Well, he scored 50 penalties for Rangers as part of the 100 goals. So that's St Mirren's afternoon over. And they can
already.
Oh yeah. You don't come back from that.
I don't know if he scored it yet.
10 minutes ago, yeah, the potentially got a draw.
But that's the trouble with potential.
Before the game started,
that's
James Tavernier steps up, saved by Trevor Carson.
No.
Very good goalkeeper. We should know not to write him off completely. He has missed a few because he's taken so many, but he's usually pretty good. He's pretty clinical from there. But Trevor Carson, he's a decent stopper on his day, and he's saved it down to his right and denies James Tavernier.
They better hang about for this afternoon then, because their afternoon isn't over.
No.
Yeah, wow. What a start to this game then. I don't think there was any.
A VAR check. Are they going to wait to see if he's off his line? Oh, my goodness. Or to see encroachment or something along those lines. Oh, my. That's going to be extremely sore on St Mirren if this goes against them. You have to say,
well, that'll
play on. It is Rangers nil, St Mirren nil. Tavernier has a penalty saved after just 5 minutes.
He scored the goal of the season last week at Celtic Park with a free kick that the likes of which you will not see bettered all season long or any season to come, and yet he misses a penalty right away. And that was the chance to really upset St Mirren and make it an even longer afternoon. But the goalkeeper was magnificent.
There's a big chance for you to improve as a human here.
Yeah.
You're always critical of goalkeepers.
Mm-hmm.
How good's that from Trevor Carson?
Yeah, first I thought it was a poor penalty, but you can't take anything away from the goalkeeper. I think he reads it perfectly. It's a good height for him. There's no question that he's off his line. He times it perfectly, Gordon, and all credit goes to Trevor Carson. But I'll go back to it. Poor penalty
kick. I don't think that was a particularly poor penalty kick.
There's no pace in that penalty kick. If Carson goes the other way,
he's not saving it.
That is nestling in the side netting, and everyone goes, what a brilliant penalty.
Yeah, but my personal point in this is, if Carson goes that way and it's a good penalty, still he ain't saving it. So doesn't matter.
No,
it was a poor penalty.
I'm giving credit to the goal.
He never does.
He chooses his side. He goes early. I think there's nothing really wrong with the penalty, and the goalkeeper makes a good save.
I'm saying good save.
It was a poor penalty.
It was a poor penalty, and I'm sure James Tavernier will admit to that.
Only in the sense that every penalty that doesn't end up in the net is a poor one. That's not a particularly bad penalty. Come on.
Do you not think that was a bad penalty? I'd be disappointed with that.
Yeah, because it doesn't go in, so I get that, but come on.
Tavernier's usually brilliant at whipping it right into the corner, right where
they
pitch.
But because Carson goes early.
There's a little bit of height on that. It's not the same pace.
Hold on. You don't whip them along the ground, do you?
You know, that...
I think there's pace in that penalty.
I
think you've went early... Yeah. And you can't even back
down. I'm feeling sorry for you.
I'm sticking to my guns.
I'm feeling guilty.
Two against one, I'm quite happy. Roger Hannah's texting me,
it's 500,000 to one. Well, everybody that's listening.
I'd say that was a poor. Look, it was a good save.
How much the odds are stacked against you as a goalkeeper. You're not even meant to save them.
It's a 50-50, isn't it?
Can it be
It's certainly not a 50-50. If you dive to the right okay. And the ball goes there, okay. Right, he saves it.
So one in two penalties are saved across the world.
If he dives to the right,
answer my question.
Right,
do you know what 50-50 means?
Yes. And so what one, I'm saying
so
to on. You is then,
so one in two penalties are saved. So answer my question. It's very simple.
What?
Across the world, are 50% of penalties saved?
No.
So it's not 50-50. Great, I'm glad we cleared that up.
No, it's 50-50 for the goalkeeper.
Can it be a good save and a bad penalty at the same time?
Well, what if he stands in the middle?
Well done, Hugh. I like that.
He can stand in the middle.
No, but you said it was a good save, so it can't be a good save and a bad penalty.
I think it's an easy save. There you go. I think it's an easy save.
I actually admire your bravery, because having just incorrectly used the phrase 50-50, you're now still going, which is fair enough.
No, a goalkeeper will go 50-50 right or left, won't he?
Like
very seldom
commitment.
Do they stand still, they go right or left.
I like that commitment.
And if they go right and it's a good penalty, they ain't getting there no matter how long they dive.
Yeah, still not what 50-50 means though.
Yeah, go you one know, or way.
This really is taking longer than the Grand National will.
Elgin won 4-0. It's that great goal getter Ian Hester.
Oh, there you are, man.
Elgin.
Right. You need to bring the coffee in next week.
You didn't have a wager.
On. Yep.
But I'll tell you what, it's a big boost for St. Mirren, because you're thinking, you go with a game plan, Tavernier, poor penalty, 0-0 still. Yes, you know, that's a reprieve for St. Mirren.
And for once, Mark, I don't think there are any complaints about the award. Gogic is probably hoping that it's outside the box, and it's close, but as we know, if it's on the line, then it's inside.
I don't even think it's on the line. I think it's inside anyway. But you can quite clearly see from his teammates, they're not even complaining. It was Gogic that was just hoping to convince the referee it was outside.
He doesn't see him, does he? He gets caught. He's too busy concentrating the ball. Raskin comes in, sneaks in.
Fairness sharp from Raskin.
Yeah, very sharp. Very he's sharp. On to it's a clear penalty kick. You can't argue
with
that.
Mirren, whatever it is, a good penalty, bad penalty, good bad. Save. We're levelled. Rangers 0, St Mirren 0. James Tavernier's penalty saved early on. Let's revisit that question, Hugh, because we didn't give it much attention. Just one repeat of it, if you don't mind.
Since the beginning of season 2022-23, and excluding lone players, 5 players have played for Scotland and played in both the Scottish Premiership and the Scottish Championship at some point in their career. Who are they?
I like that. And you can see that question written down at Clyde SSB. So just remember the wording, because they've not got it. Hugh Keevans has written it perfectly. So the appearances in the Scottish Premiership and the Championship can be at any point in their career, but they must have played for Scotland since the start of the 22-23 season. So that's recently. Oh no, that can't be right, is it?
No, that sounds mixed up. Can you rephrase that question, please?
Rephrase it or just say it?
I've
the way it was
There's a lot of debate going on in the studio.
By the way,
let's
give people
a lot of
behind the curtain here.
You think you're going to ring that thing, right?
On Grand National Day,
yeah,
the
stewards
inquiry.
Who are we blaming? There's one on there. Because as soon as I said it, there's one on there that surely hasn't played for Scotland this season.
No.
Hugh. Oh, no, hold on, no. I stand corrected. Producer Chris has shown me he's working fine. It's me. It's all me.
Like he's got his new haircut.
Because that's the difference. That's the difference between the two Gordons in here. See, when I make a mistake, I'll just hold up my hands. Nah. I don't mind that.
Okay, so he's right.
Is he right?
Apparently.
Apparently. Didn't he sound confident?
No. The game in question, there were some injuries and so on, and this guy did play for Scotland.
You need to get him on your music show. He's not good at football.
He's shown me up there. He's got it right. I've got it wrong. I don't mind admitting that.
That's fine. Who are you looking at there? Oh yes, who was he playing?
Don't you read any of the answers out loud? Come on,
is it one right, one wrong?
Yeah, there you go. Rub it out. He's right. Yeah, that's the one I give you.
Okay.
Hard work, honestly. I've got to come in here on a Saturday. Work with him.
Sorry, Hugh. The old Seagulls. It's Chelsea 1, Brighton 0. Connor Gallagher with the goal.
Watched a bit of Chelsea against Real Madrid through the week. I mean.
No.
Bit of an enigma, because they could have been about two or three up in the first 10 or 15 minutes, and then once again they go backwards. Weird side at the minute is Chelsea.
I think Dundee United have started quite well at Fir Park. Good chances down the left, down the left. Stephen Fletcher, usual source of danger. He had a header back across the goal, cleared away by Furlong. So a decent start for Dundee United, which is exactly what they need. Hugh Keevans, need a good start, middle and end to this one.
Yeah, of course. It's a fascinating thing. It's good for other people, but not for the managers of the respective clubs like Ross County, Marky Mackay, Jim Goodman at Dundee United. It's not good for them. Derek McInnes playing Celtic tomorrow with Kilmarnock. And St Johnstone not yet out of the woods. The bottom four, I'm not excluding St Johnstone, the bottom four makes for fascinating viewing.
Big goal in the Championship, Partick Thistle 1, Ayr 0. Scott Tiffany, remember, there's only a point between those sides in favour of Thistle. So that is a real chance to try and extend that advantage. I suppose the only thing, thinking about the scheduling of the playoffs, there's not loads of difference between finishing third and fourth.
Oh.
Second's the one you want to get to, isn't it? To try and give you one game fewer.
Certainly the new manager bounce at Firhill. You've got to say.
It's more than a bounce now. It's been quite some time.
I'm delighted for Chris because he wasn't too good on the show, I remember. He's went into management and been absolutely brilliant. I'm only kidding.
A History of Scottish Football and 100 Objects has tweeted, says, according to Sports Quotes and Facts, there have been more than 100,000 spot kicks given since 2009. Roughly, three quarters were scored, 17.5% saved, 4% missed completely, 3.5% hit the woodwork.
He's agreeing with me there.
To
conclude, it's not 50-50, was I think what he was getting at.
The next tweet will be, how many did John Beaton award?
Stephen Fletcher claiming for a penalty at the back post, a bit of a tangle when he was going for a cross, but waved away there. Motherwell free kick, and apparently now in Sean Goss range. We never used to refer to it as that, or Kevin Van Veen indeed, but they both scored at Easter Road. Even Callum Slattery banged one in against Kilmarnock, didn't he? But Van Veen and Goss over the ball.
Well, Van
Veen. 2 weeks in a row would be tough.
No. Goss must be.
Oh, no, in fact, was that? Yeah, it was last week. No. Easter Road. That was the game before that, yeah? Yes, Livingston last week.
Because Van Veen's free kick wasn't. You got to look at David Marshall, to be honest, but still hits the back in it. Goss is more spectacular for me, so he's a man for me.
I would be
letting him hit.
Depends what side it is, though, doesn't it? Left footer, right footer. So we'll see if that comes to. They're still in talks. They're in negotiations about who should take the free kick. Who did the old rock paper scissors again? It was on a game live in TV.
That's
was it
right. St Johnstone did it. Was it Graham Carey was part of?
I liked it. Sean Goss over the bar. You went to see his brother the other night, didn't you? How was it?
Oh, Matt. Aye, it was terrific. I thoroughly enjoyed myself.
How good is that to be famous? You go to a concert and you actually meet the person.
I don't know if it's Sean Gossie's cousin, right, the
guy was selling at Caesar's Palace for 10 years in Vegas, and next minute he's cutting a bit with my good self.
Did you not ask him why he's dumped Luke? Is Luke out there?
I think he's at the picture. It's a touchy subject. I didn't know why to bring him up.
So
they were absolutely rotten anyway.
You came
up. They were good.
In the 80s they were selling out everywhere.
So they were at their peak in the 80s. You were born in
84.
So were you the youngest 84. Person there?
By a country mile.
I was married by the time you was
I tell you what, by the way, it's got some following. See, some
where,
of the
where
fans.
Are you the youngest there by a mile?
Aye, without a doubt.
And to get this, so Thursday night, Hughie comes in. You can so obviously he's got a new haircut. He's wearing a black polo neck, a wee well, kind of grey jacket thing.
He's obviously not been home because he's still got the black. Pull the neck thing on.
That's a t-shirt. So he was clearly on his way out. But we discovered that the concert started way before Mark was going to get there, and he had front row seats. So I told the listening nation, if anyone was going to watch out for some idiot pushing his way into the front row halfway through. So did that indeed.
No, you know what I did, I arrived just as the interval was coming. So I stood at the back and just waited my chance.
So not only are you so desperate to go and see some musical act from before your time, you didn't even, you missed half of it.
Missed half the show. And after the show, he asked me what I thought of the show.
I loved the first half.
The first half was smashing, mate.
What song was your favourite? I wish you had come back. Anyway, what was your best
bit? It was a bit of pressure. He said, was that what you expected? I said, oh no, way better. Way better.
Seriously, is that what he was asking?
Way better than what I expected.
Mate, I want 100%. My money back.
Oh, love that.
Imagine I just says no, it wasn't
very good.
Dundee are not as interesting as Mark's story, but it is a big goal. Dundee 0 Morton 1 Darragh O'Connor on 17 minutes. You have the feeling throughout this championship that none of them want to go and kick on and win it, but someone's going to have to, and that would be a huge missed opportunity. I did say Morton have done fairly well against Dundee in recent times, and Darragh O'Connor has put them
my
ahead.
Horse in the National has a jockey whose first name is Dara as well. So
there we are. That may be an omen. It may be a useless piece of info. We'll find out before the end of the afternoon. What time is it again? Usually
5:15.
Like a 5. Yeah. Aye. Elgin have come flying out the traps. Elgin 2 4-0. Aaron Reid with the goal. Casey's gone just wide from a spittle corner at Fir Park. Should have scored. Should have put the hosts in front. So there we are.
Tell you what, with that Dundee scoreline, imagine that stays like that. You're saying Thistle maybe left it too late. Would they not go 3 points behind them then? If scores stay the same. But it just shows how tight that is up there.
We are on Twitter all afternoon as always. Miovsky Magic says, nothing said about the ridiculous VAR decisions against the Dons last night, not a sending off. And Miovsky goal, it looked perfectly fine from what I've seen. No offence, Miovsky, we just kind of have to disregard that second point because we can't take that anywhere. When Hawkeye tells you it's offside, doesn't, and I mean this in the politest way, whether you think it looks fine, there's just not a great deal of debate to be had there because there's not much we can do about it. What we can do is have a good old tear up about Graham Shinney's sending off.
Well, I said to you, and you explained the rule to me very well, but I still think it's harsh. Yeah, I thought
get that.
He could have stayed on the park. He is a bit headstrong, Shinny, but I thought it was harsh.
I thought it was a red. Yeah, when I seen it at the beginning, I thinking, yeah, okay, he goes into a strong tackle there, the usual cliches, he wins the ball, it's a follow through. I think Shinny knows exactly what he's doing there. And I think
that's not even important. I don't even really like that phrase because it's not relevant. I always say that to people, it's not about intent either way. But, it just doesn't.
Well, okay, I'll take it back. I think that is a red card. I think the referee called that 100% correct.
So one each, Mark. You can be the decider.
I will agree with a man to my left, which is Gordon Dale. I thought it was a red card.
Are you not
as well.
Feeling hard done by if you're a player, yes. though? If you make that tackle, you're Graham Shinney. Are you feeling hard done by?
Yeah, because when you're getting into a tackle like that, you know, the follow-through is always going to be there. You're always going to come together with a player. It's just where your studs land and how high it is, and the referee has to take that into consideration. I don't think Graham Shinney, of course you're saying about intent, means it. It's just natural what happens. but the referee has to look, is that endangering the opponent?
In days gone by,
yes,
that
it is endangering.
In days gone by, that would have been classed as a terrific tackle. That, of course.
I think Mark's hit on the most important point. You don't have to agree with it, but the most important point, really, that you have to ask yourself, so you can answer yes or no, I'm not trying to force you down a certain road, did that tackle endanger the opponent? That's going to be the main question. Who meant what, how accidental it was, or this, that, or the next thing, is great for all of you lot as fans and for us as pundits to just sort of wax lyrical and moan about. And, you know, if you've played, Mark will say, you know, these things can happen by accident. Question is simple. Did the tackle endanger the opponent?
I think it did. And that's a big point. When the referee looks at it, it certainly does.
It would certainly be hard to argue that it didn't. Is that fair?
Yeah. But then I guess the people would...
Hold on a minute, right? Hold on. Can I play this twice?
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
I'll just do it once, but it's two for the price of one. Who else?
Van Veen.
I usually hate that cliche, but it's appropriate when it's Motherwell. Kevin Van Veen again. 1-0 to Motherwell at home to Dundee United. His first effort was saved, and then on the follow through, and also...
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
Livy 1, St Johnston 0. That could be a big goal as well. Joel Nubley with the goal there. Livy really needed that. And sorry, Palmerston Pep, Marvin Bartley. Dunfermline are heading for the title. Dunfermline 1, Queen of the South 0. But in our top flight, say something. Tell me something new. Give me some new praise for Kevin Van Veen that we've not heard before.
I think the old praise will stand. You know, the guy is having a phenomenal run. He is on course for 30 goals. First Motherwell player to do it since the great Dixie Deans. And fair play to Stuart Kettlewell. At the same time, he has maintained the momentum that he created and has kept going. And Joel Nubley, I said to you, St Johnstone are sleepwalking towards trouble. And I know that's the score as it stands. If it remains that way or gets worse...
Oh, they're checking for offside. So you might be right.
Oh, no.
Kevin Van Veen. They always do, obviously, for every goal gets checked.
Back pedal cue.
Rewind cue.
Just say he's on target for 25.
You know,
I'll just say VAR is ruining football.
Not if he's offside.
It's offside.
Or Jim Gooden, he wouldn't be ruining it.
But he wants him to be with Dixie Deans.
Can Dundee United get relegated on a goal that was offside when technology was available and, you know, you choose not to use it? So even I love that. I hope this goal stands, obviously, from my personal perspective. He's the top scoring Dutchman in world football. You like that?
Oh, who's dug that stat?
David Friel. Motherwell actually posted something about it. No, Motherwell posted that a couple of weeks ago. I think he was second or whatever. But in terms of like kind of top leagues, professional leagues or whatever, he's the top scoring Dutchman in world football.
That is brilliant research.
Is he going to get a call up?
Yeah, sure.
I've got to say that's
It's taken a while. That doesn't tend to bode well.
But that's the kind of research that makes you think that person should get out more, even to a Matt Goss concert.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that for David generally, but Motherwell did tweet something about it just a couple of weeks ago. It was like,
so it's not really David Friel, he's just stolen it for the tweet.
Was it to research a tweet though? So
try to think who else was on it, like Memphis Depay or something, and you guys like that on the list.
He's been absolutely brilliant.
This goal might not even stand, you know. It doesn't matter.
He's still been absolutely terrific, and I'm sure other players will be looking at him for a vote. Obviously, Celtic Rangers players come in
because
of Celtic
trouble
this season, probably. But someone outside,
still waiting.
Duke,
still
Van
waiting
Veen.
At Fir Park.
That's a long wait.
Hopefully, there's no problem with the old camera operator again at Fir Park.
See,
I told you, in the past, didn't we?
VAR rubbish.
Cut the grass. Who cut the grass this morning?
Goal. There you are. Best scoring Dutchman in world football.
Go on, Hugh,
give
him
his vote for the player of the year.
Stuart Kettlewell created the momentum and he's kept it going.
Unbelievable. It's true what you say. I mean, Fraser Wishart can tell you more about this than me, but there can be a scenario where if I get you all in a room, all the pundits or 50 people off the street, and say, who's Celtic's player of the year? You might say Hatate, you might say Kyogo, you might say Callum McGregor, you know, and it gets sort of split and it gets diluted, where when it's a kind of one standout from a team, it sometimes does stick in your mind more. Was there not a year? Hold on, I'll get back to that because we've got a big goal.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
Missed a penalty earlier, but Rangers are in front. Tavernier's cross this time, good move from Rangers, and finished off by Todd Cantwell. Probably what Rangers were needing. Not a great deal doing before that, but he's been excellent in the start to this game, and he's scored off the underside of the bar, and it's Rangers 1 St Mirren 0.
Todd Cantwell, in a game like that, tends to shine. I didn't think that he stood out in the game against Celtic last weekend. He's one of the players that has to rise to that particular occasion. But I thought it was over when St Mirren conceded the penalty. It's definitely over now.
Mm-hmm. Wait till VAR intervenes. I think Cantwell is becoming a fan's favourite. I think he's settling into his Rangers career very, very well indeed. Decent player, getting goals. But Hugh's right, when you come up from England and you come up with a reputation of being a real good player, it's a big, big games you've got to step up in, and he's still got plenty of time in that. But so far, it's been a good start to his Rangers career.
Especially at Ibrox. I think he's looked to spark, you know, that creativity that Rangers maybe have lacked sometimes when Kent's off the boil and Tillman's not quite there. Cantwell certainly injected something. Need to add goals to his game as well, playing in that position. He's done that today, so yeah, good start. I'm with you in this one.
It's not kicked off yet, so as always, you need to take your
you're going early today.
VAR check,
yeah,
for something. Another free kick for Motherwell. I mean, Van Veen's demanding it now.
Yeah,
if Goss misses the first one, that's you. Don't care where it is.
He's on for a hat trick.
Possible offside in this Cantwell goal, so we'll have to take a wee breath and then find out. Jim Duffy's Clyde had gone one up on FC Edinburgh, but Innes Murray has equalised with 29 gone in that one. Big Innes. Don't want to get into the dressing room after him. Certainly. 10 minutes. Falkirk 1, Airdrie 0, Kai Kennedy. That's an interesting one, because although Dunfermline are going to win it, these sides look destined to meet in the playoffs. Montrose 1, Peterhead 0, goal at Ibrox. So no offside doing in that one. As you were.
Well, 5 points between Falkirk and Airdrie, so that is a crucial goal in terms of that. That would wrap that up if it stayed like that for Airdrie. Try to finish second, Dunfermline ran away with it, right enough.
What are we thinking on this teaser, Hugh, if you could remind us of the question?
Since the beginning of the 2022-23 season, and excluding loan players, 5 players have played for Scotland and played in both the Scottish Premiership and the Scottish Championship at some point in their career. Name them.
Okay, let's do some wrong answers to help you along the way then. I can see some of you giving it a good old go, which is much appreciated as always. Let's think about some good answers coming in. Some really good answers. A common wrong one, Laurie. Finlayson's gone. Barry Mackay,
not there.
He's not been capped for Scotland in that time, I'm afraid. Where are we? That looks like a good list as well. Kieran would like to throw in John Souter.
Oh. No, he's not there either.
Okay.
I had that one, Hugh.
Not actually capped in that time, believe it or not, because he's had his so it's the start of this season, isn't it?
Yeah,
22, 23. So yeah, no, he's been out injured. Greg's Gardens wants to mention Ryan Porteous.
Nice of you to mention him, but he's not there.
Okay.
Not doing so well now, are you?
No, he was saying to me then,
I'm doing well. He thought I had them all.
It's getting back away.
Yeah, not great for you. Where was he on loan? FC Edinburgh City, as they were
Cowden
called.
Cowden Beath as well.
So
I
not
think,
in the champion, and it might not even have been. No, other than that, yeah, he would tick the boxes. And sorry, no, because it excludes loan players. So there we are. Because, for instance, I don't mind telling you, I'll do a couple of other wrong ones.
Yeah,
right?
I'm wrong.
So for loan, if it did include loans, you could have Scott McKenna on loan at Air United,
yeah.
And you could also have, and this one would have been tough, Anthony Ralston.
Mm.
On loan at Dundee United.
In the Championship.
Yeah.
But you can't have them because it doesn't include loan players. So on you go. Try and get me the rest of the answers. Remember, it is a race, this first half teaser. So you need to send the tweet at Clyde SSB. And if you head there, you can see the question written down as well. Bit of a slip up for Rangers at the back. Davies loses the ball to Kilty, but he just couldn't quite find Curtis Main with the pass. We'll get to this more when we talk about Kilmarnock and Celtic, but Derek McInnes spoke this week about the importance of striking first, something that he's always keen to get across and really wants to emphasise that this week. This is where, you know, if you are St Mirren, you're hoping maybe to frustrate early on and find your way into it. Hugh, once you go a goal down, it does become entirely different.
Well, St Mirren struck first against Celtic in the last meeting of the two clubs, then Celtic scored five times in the second half. Yeah. So it's no guarantee of anything.
Absolutely. No, just in terms of the game plan, though, Gordon, you know, if you concede first, the obviously at some point you're going to need to come out a bit more than you were. And I'm not saying a proper park in the bus or anything, but all those cliches that you hear week in, week out, because they're valid, about, you know, frustrating the crowd, and you can guarantee if this had got to 60 minutes today, 0-0, I think the Rangers fans would let the players know.
100%. You've got to go, when you go to Ibrox and Kilmarnock tomorrow with Celtic, you've got to have plan A and plan B, because you know that probably you're going to need both. You're looking at early on, keep it tight, don't give in, the old cliches that go with it. But if you lose a goal, it's in the time frame of when you're going to change. Like, say, if Kilmarnock had a game plan tomorrow to sit nice and tight and get men behind the ball and where they're going to do their press, and Celtic score after 10-15 minutes, they're not going to rip it up and change it right away. But if it's 60-70 minutes, 65-70 minutes, then it's a different approach from Kilmarnock, because they then know that they have to come out and, you know, get themselves forward a little bit more, try and get back into the game.
So, VAR check for a Livy goal by Stephen Bradley. The assistant ref gave the offside, so it's the other way round, if you like. The VAR is taking a look. And who's on the VAR at Livy?
Kevin Clancy.
It's Kevin Clancy. A quieter afternoon he will be hoping
he'll
for.
He'll enjoy that, won't he?
Dundee have equalised. That could be a big goal. Dundee 1, Morton 1, Luke Hannant on 32 minutes there.
If the goal stands and St Johnstone are 2 down, you'd have to say they're in the mix now.
Looked offside to Fraser Wishart, he says. So I like that. He's sticking his neck on the line, because he might be wrong.
He's just looking under his hat and his scarf wrapped around his face to keep him warm.
Sign of life from St Mirren. Greg Kilty with a shot held though by Alan McGregor. He's not had a great deal to do, but interesting, I've forgotten his name momentarily. Michael Beale was asked yesterday, because Robbie McCrory has returned to training, he's always said previously he'll get a chance before the end of the season. He was asked, is his chance coming? And essentially said yes, his chance is coming. So I wonder when.
Maybe the next week or so.
Exactly, yeah. Because you've got the biggest game of your season coming round, so you aren't going to risk him then. Then
say
you've
that
got
again. Sorry, the what's coming round?
Biggest same game.
Would that make it, just as an example, just next week? Does it make any difference to Alan McGregor? You know, it's not like leaving out, you know, I don't know, an outfield player or whatever. And
what it would do.
Offside confirmed at Livy, by the way.
Maybe your back phone in front of you. Would you create that wee bit of uncertainty?
And don't get me wrong, Pittodrie next week.
Yeah,
but then they're all going to be big posts.
Exactly.
Split
that's,
anyway.
That's the point I was going to make. So you've got Pittodrie, you've then got the semi final, then Celtic will be coming around soon after.
If Rangers lost to Celtic in the semi final, their season would be over. So you might as well play Robbie McCrory from that point onwards until the end of the season, because you've nothing left to play for.
But we had this argument before. What do you learn from that then? What do you learn from Robbie McCrory when he's playing in meaningless games? Can you then judge if he's going to be a viable option for a number two or number one?
I guess it's better than nothing though, isn't it? Because if your alternative is, right, you've got a couple of options here. Play him in the semi-final, not happening.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
Don't play him at all, completely pointless. You're kind of left with that.
I think you've got to give him a few games. And I know what you're saying about nothing games, but I think it was Roger that says it is today, that when you're playing with Rangers and you're playing there in that stadium, the demands on you are to go and win games. It doesn't matter if they know that you can't win the league or whatever. You can't just say, right, we'll let the season just filter out. And, you know, it'd be a good opportunity. I don't see him playing. I think McGregor will play Aberdeen. The reason why, you do not want to go to Pittodrie and lose to Aberdeen and then get put out the Scottish Cup with Celtic. You've got to get in with a bit of confidence.
And I suppose, Hugh, that we're now in that interesting time as well. It's kind of hard to forecast, because you're looking at when the post-split fixtures obviously aren't out. They generally try and keep the final Old Firm game early on in the split, so yeah, that it doesn't become a title decider. But it might anyway, you know, it depends when, who and when drop points, and then Celtic will look for trophy day and all that sort of stuff.
The one thing that the SPFL will avoid is any possibility of the game deciding the title.
But you can't, that's the thing, you just can't always predict it, can you? Because did it not happen a couple of seasons ago?
You could literally make it the last game of the season, knowing that the title is
okay,
won,
right? Yeah,
and you can, you know, have it as your grand finale if you like.
Okay, so it's the opposite. You're not bothered about trying to keep it early in the split. No. It's the opposite. Make it as late as possible.
You're trying to avoid trouble. That's what you're trying to do.
And then Celtic go on a deliberate losing run so that they can wrap up again. Rangers at the end. I don't think so.
When are the fixtures out? It'll be after next week's game. But
because the
a lot of the business must be done saying, today.
Yeah, but then everything changes just by one team, no?
Livy.
So Livy are
Livy's still got possibility.
There was, am I right in saying there was a combination? No, so if Hearts had won today, that would have secured St Mirren's place in the top six, yes? Yeah, it would have. But it's not quite over the line yet. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay. Try to do the quick math there. Let's move on.
Goal flashes with Clydebuilt Home Improvements.
Saved by the goal flash. It's Livy 2, St Johnston 0, and it's Stephen Kelly. Livy are keeping their top six hopes alive, and St Johnston are doing nothing to suggest they won't be getting dragged down the way. Stephen Kelly, 38 gone, 2-0.
This is a team, Livy, who over the two previous weekends have been 3 goals down by half time in both the games. They're playing a St Johnston side, I repeat, who are sleepwalking towards the relegation zone. They've scored 2 goals, Livy. They've had another one disallowed because of offside. Now, what does that say about Livy's performance? Uplifting. What does it say about St Johnston's performance? Rubbish.
I've told you Livingston and St Johnston were a good game.
Fraser, you did.
Yep, Fraser didn't believe me. Two teams that obviously are not in great form. I think Livy are just different at home. They seem to find that little bit of spark. I don't know if it's a pitch, and we can talk about that all day, but...
Well, St Mirren are not happy. Tony Watt went down under a challenge from Ben Davies as he ran through, but the referee waves play on. So St Mirren not happy with that. Sorry, as you were saying.
Yeah, I just think Livy have got a bit about them that, yes, they can go through this bad period, but they always find a way out. And they're keeping that top six as stands. They're keeping that quite exciting, keeping that alive, and putting a little bit of pressure on teams just above.
You'd worry if you were a St Johnston fan just now, because they may not finish bottom, but certainly in that playoff position again. Ross County, Dundee United, we'll look at them tonight and think.
It's hard. Also, I don't mean to sound too unfair, because we pointed out earlier, you think, okay, well, Dundee United have got good players supposedly, you know, so when do you start seeing that? And Killie have got the good home form and all that sort of stuff. What? Sometimes struggle to feel what St Johnston have got going for them, and I know that sounds extremely rude. Probably don't mean it to be quite as extreme, but do you know what I mean by that? Because their home form's terrible.
You look at St Johnston at home this season, lost to Ross County last week, and lost.
Pep won't be happy. 2-0 down to Dunfermline, who are going to win the league. Sorry,
and lost to Dundee United. That's where Dundee United's only away result has came this season. So, listen, Callum Davidson will know fine well after today, because they won't win today. You'll know fine well they are back in a relegation battle.
Broader picture as well, you know, the club's looking for a buyer. Jeff Brown, great man, took St Johnston to where they are today. His son Stephen is now the chairman, but the Brown family feel it's time to have a different leader. They're looking for a buyer, but what are you selling them? You're selling them a club who might be in the Championship next season.
First half teaser's interesting. We had a spot left on the podium. I mean, it's only for a bit of fun, so I won't split hairs too much. But Laurie Finlayson, get those two tweets onto one tweet. You need one tweet with all the correct answers on it. You can't split them across two tweets. So give us one tweet with all the correct answers and see if you can come up with it. Hugh Keevens is punching the air in delight because the Seagulls have equalised.
Now, we had a man on last night in Super Scoreboard who wanted full-time referees because that would guarantee that things would be better.
He didn't say that, to be fair. But...
As I pointed out to him, Brighton have had 3 apologies this season from the Referees Association for blatant errors that have cost Brighton 9 points. I'm just waiting for this goal to be chopped off. Yeah.
And remember, blatant errors, one that you can't even argue about. We sometimes lose sight of the difference between those things. It looks like Danny Welbeck has equalised for Brighton against Chelsea, so we will keep an eye there.
The nipper's on the train home too. We jump back home. I brought him in to meet Marvin Barkley. Two of them talk like that. Mark Grenson talks like that.
It was like Marvin and Archie Hughes' grandson. You should have heard them. I was just like they just got into their own sort of lingo. Their own lingo.
Yeah.
I think Marvin was delighted he stuck with us. Although I must admit, right, if you ever were looking for an insight into the life of Hugh Keevans, you two would have loved this, right? Mm. So Marvin Bartley, true to form, turns up 1 minute to six the other night. Disgraceful, right? He's got his fob. I don't know if he's forgotten his own passcode or whatever to get in, but he's stuck outside 1 minute to six. So I go to the door to let him in, and next thing behind him, I see Hugh Keevans, his grandson, and a box of Domino's pizza. Other pizza shops are available. Tottering towards the front door of Clyde 1 HQ on a Wednesday night. He's not even on the show on a Wednesday night. But apparently, he wanted to sit in here, in this office, watch the Real Madrid game and have pizza with his grandson in here, as if it's some sort of social club.
Well, you see, the other five grandchildren had congregated and they're noisy and messy and waste of time.
So did you drag your grandson out on the train?
Yeah.
Hey son, get your scarf and your hat. We're going up to Clyde.
I bought myself a ready meal.
Well, I was going to say, what do you think the first thing he complained to me about? The price of the Domino's.
Oh, scandalous.
Oh, my ready meal costs £3 and the nipper goes up and orders his £14.90, she said to me.
What? You micro your ready meal upstairs?
Yes. I get the Cara Conway in the newsroom.
Yes, Sunday News.
She came up and did it for
That's
me.
That's outrageous. Someone in news microwaves his meal.
You can't be coming in here, Hugh, in your days off. They get fed.
Using the electricity.
Water. He goes out to his machine. Are you watching Coronation? I'm away up to the.
We need to get him a
what do you is it called there? That thing? Square Bob.
SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Square Bob.
They were watching SpongeBob SquarePants, whatever he's called. And I thought, nah. We want to see Chelsea and Real Madrid. We're off.
It's funny how those stories on this show, though, people don't forget out there, do you? You know, things that you think happen sort of incidentally and you move on. I took myself across to the butchers, Rogers Butchers, across the road today again, get myself a wee ready meal before the show. And as soon as I walked in, the boy said, just me, make sure you don't drop that in the car again.
Ah, they're always listening.
Ah, you get away with nothing. And do you know what? I genuinely did nearly drop it again. I don't know what's wrong with me. It's in my head now. So anyway, half times are about to go, Hugh Keevan, so let's round this off. Okay. If you can.
The first half teaser with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Since the beginning of this season, and excluding loan players, five players have played for Scotland and played in both the Scottish Premiership and the Scottish Championship at some point in their career. They are Lyndon Dykes, Craig Gordon, Stephen Kingsley, John McGinn, and Lauren Shankland.
How many of them did you two get? Because you're looking very blank. Which
one? Shankland. I got it right away. I was on the buzzer.
Was Hickey not on it? No.
Absolutely. Hickey not there. Hopeless.
When did Hickey play in the Championship?
I don't know. Well, he obviously didn't.
Yeah. Terrible, you two. No third place, apparently. Although we said Laurie Finlayson. Did he get it over two tweets or something? Oh, but he also had six answers. He's hedging his bets. Mark Walkman was in second place. I think his nickname is Sony. Too obvious. And Dylan Patton was the winner. Well done to Dylan. And we've got a really good Who Am I after the break.
I think the Who Am I is next to impossible.
Never. Not for our audience. Nothing is.
Well,
it's almost impossible last week. Very difficult last week.
Loads of people got it right last week. Just not. I think what we need to bear in mind here is because you two think it's impossible, that's not the best barometer.
We're usually quite good at it.
I was under the weather. I was under the weather.
Oh, so you are. That's right. You're a much better man this week.
Back and forward to the bathroom last week.
I skipped into work today. Brilliant.
4 minutes at Ibrox, 3 at Fir Park and 2 at Livy. Kevin Van Veen's had another good chance. It's over the bar. Absolutely incredible return. Maybe something we can look at after the game, because he might add to that. But as it stands, he's scored 45% of Motherwell's league goals. That's the most in the league by a mile. Shankland's got 36% of Hearts goals. But it is, in terms of a one-man contribution, nearly half of all goals scored by one man.
Yeah, and I remember not that long ago that there were some people criticising him for his work rate.
Hold on a minute. This is a big one of these. Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements. Mark O'Hara has equalised for St Mirren on the stroke of half time. A ball in by Strain. Rangers couldn't clear the lines. And there is Mark O'Hara, St Mirren captain, having a brilliant season. In truth, always pops up with goals. He scored a good few against Rangers in his career as well. And he hits a shot off the far post. And it is Rangers 1, St Mirren 1.
Mark O'Hara, who scored one of the goals when St Mirren beat Celtic last September. And he is having a terrific season. Good player. Type you want beside you.
Yeah. Captain as well. Signed a new contract.
He's been really good this season.
He's just he seems to have found the club for him, playing with great confidence. Is he the top goal scorer, I would say? He's got more than
he
me.
He must
surely.
Be. Yeah, I think I think it was. Was it not in Beat the Pundit? That's the only way you would know that.
Exactly.
No,
that's why. That's why. Do you
great
know something? I tried to make myself sound really.
As
really
if you've gone and researched St Mirren's top scorers this morning.
I had it in my head. I think Roger Hanna got
him,
it wrong.
That's him up to 10 top scorer for St
Mirren.
By the way, good going at midfielder, double figures.
10.
Yeah. Terrific.
Takes penalty kicks, but he can score goals, and obviously leading by example today. And what a time to
changes
get the
things,
goal.
Changes things
time
at the break, doesn't it? St Mirren fans will be delighted over in the corner. Rangers fans, a few grumbles. Let's go to Fir Park, though. It's half time there.
Half time, Gordon, Motherwell 1, Dundee United 0. As you said, he's not really a one man team, but it's all about Kevin Van Veen again as his hot streak continues with yet another goal for Motherwell. He's now in 23 for the season. He's got 8 in his last 5 games, and he's the top scoring Dutchman in world football. Forget Memphis Depay, forget Cody Gakpo. It's all about KVV. According to the Motherwell fans, a deserved lead for Motherwell. They should have been 2-0 up with Van Veen missing a great chance before the break. To be fair, United actually started pretty well. They were causing Motherwell problems down the wings, but they didn't really test Liam Kelly. Jim Goodwin won't be happy with that, and Motherwell then up to after 15 minutes. Van Veen had a good running shot deflected wide from the angle of the box from the corner. Bill Spittle picked out Dan Casey, but he headed wide from close range, should have scored. Then came the opener on 22 minutes. Big long ball up the park. Mikkel Mandron flicked on for Van Veen. He then fed Max Johnson on the right. His cutback was perfect for Van Veen. His first shot was saved by Max Barraghetti, but then he followed in to score from close range. Couldn't miss. There was a long VAR check, but the goal stood, and Van Veen lapped up the acclaim from the Motherwell fans again. He did have other chances. Sean Goss, a shot blocked. Van Veen had a free kick fluffed. Goss also floated one over the bar. Motherwell should have added to their score sheet just before the break when Van Veen headed over the bar. As he's Behic, he had the best chance for United, probably made a cross at the back post, but he trundled that past the post. They will need to find a spark if they're going to get anything from this game. Motherwell in control. Half time, Motherwell 1, Dundee United 0.
Half time, Livy. Here's Fraser.
Livingston 2, St Johnston 0. Livy deservedly ahead. The scoreline really doesn't flatter them at all. They've been on the front foot from the start to finish. Their goals from Joel Nubley and a really brilliant free kick by Stephen Kelly to show for all their good play. They started really well. Livy, great tempo from the start. Third minute, long ball by Morgan Boys over the top. Lovely touch by Stephen Bradley, making a diagonal run, got his shot away quickly before he got tackled. And the ball bounced about a foot wide. Joel Nubley then had a good chance. The ball bounced nicely for the big striker. He tried to lob Matthews from the edge of the box. Good save by the goalkeeper, but I think that Nubley should have scored. First chance for St Johnstone, 12 minutes. Jimmy Murphy on the left run. A good cross to the back post. Conor McLennan came in. Powerful header saved by Shamal George on his line. But that was it in terms of St Johnstone's attacking threat. It was all Livy from then. 23rd minute, no surprise, when Livy took the lead. Good hold-up play by Bruce Anderson. Lovely pass. Put Joel Nubley through. The big winger used his strength to hold off Dre Wright challenge and coolly side-footed the ball past Matthews into the net. Livy more likely to have a second. Montano across the left, scrambled away desperately by a combination of Montgomery and McPherson. Really little in attack from Johnson. McLennan probably the only man that had any kind of attacking threat, but it was Bradley. It had almost had the ball in the back of the net on 31 minutes. Set up again by Anderson. The assistant ref put his flag up and gave offside. He actually had the ball in the net, given offside, confirmed by VAR. But only a matter of time for the second goal, and it came in the 38th minute. Stephen Kelly burst through from the midfield. He was fouled by Cammy McPherson, and the midfielder dusted himself down. Brilliant free kick from 25 yards, bent it over the wall in off the right hand post of Remy Matthews. There's actually loud boos by the small band of St Johnstone fans at half time. Long way back for their team. I think Callum Davidson might turn to his bench to try and get back into this game somehow with little attacking threat. Libby cruising, half time here. Livingston 2, St Johnstone 0.
Half time Ibrox, Roger Hanna.
Yeah, Rangers 1, St Mirren 1 in the break, and very difficult to grudge Stephen Robinson side parity at half time. They conceded a penalty after just 4 minutes. Gordon Alec Gogic too slow, he tripped Nico Raskin as he burst into the box. A right decision by referee Stephen McLean, but the wrong penalty kick by James Tavernier. Trevor Carson going down to his right to push out the captain's spot kicks. And none responded, Greg Kilty flashing a shot just over the top. Rangers another chance, O'Burner Barisic's cross into the 6 yard box. Alfredo Morelos waiting to pounce, but it was somehow smuggled over the crossbar into safety. Fashion Sakala next to threaten with a shot saved by Carson after Morelos played him in, but Rangers did take the lead on 26 minutes. A good sweeping passing movement finished when the captain James Tavernier got to the byline, cross from the right, and there was Todd Cantwell with a close range finish in off the underside of the bar. At that stage you expected Rangers to kick on, but anything but that. St Mirren responded really well. Ben Davis losing the ball to Kilty. He couldn't find Curtis Mayne with a pass. Kilty then threatening again with a shot saved by Alan McGregor. St Mirren then feeling an injustice. Tony Watt going down under the challenge of Davis as he tried to bust clear in McGregor's goal, but referee Stephen McLean waving play on. Cantwell here, a weak shot easily held by Carson as the game went into 4 added minutes at the end of this first half, but there was still time for St Mirren's equaliser. Rangers just couldn't clear their lines. John Souter heading the ball out of his own 6 yard box. It was retrieved by Ryan Strain. He fed it back into the box, and there was Mark O'Hara, the Buddies' top scorer, now into double figures with a finish off the far post past McGregor. It is all to play for in the second half. Rangers need to move up the gears. Rangers 1, St Mirren 1.
Do a full round up of the half time scores next.